There's a lot of important yesodos that everybody has to know, that are very foundational, and that even though they're so important, there's a lot of people who are unaware of them. And therefore today, we want to, today and possibly tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, to discuss simple, not simple, it's not simple, it's quite deep, but it's yesodos of the Bria Soil. And I'd like to begin with the pasuk in Yeshaya, the end of Yeshaya, in Perek Samach Vav, where the pasuk says, Koyama Hashem, Hashemayim Kis'i, the heaven is my chair, the ha'oretz hadoim l'ragloi, and the oretz, the earth, is like a footstool. So what's the pshat? What's Yeshaya trying to say, that Shemayim is a chair for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does that mean? There's a famous Yisod from the Balatanya, he explains this. The Balatanya explains that the chair is a hashpalah for somebody. When a person lowers his body, then he sits down, standing position, that's a higher position, and sitting down is when a person lowers himself. Shemayim for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a tremendous yirida. What does that mean? Oh, very good. What does that mean? People make a very, very simple mistake. And people think that sort of Shemayim is closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than Oretz. Right? What is that? Now, has this ever come across any of your minds? The Oretz is very low, Shemayim is very high, and obviously Shemayim is therefore closer to Hashem. And that's obviously not true. In terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, looking from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's point of view, Shemayim and Oretz are just as low. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is lamal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is higher than any proportion. And you can't say high and low when you discuss HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can say high and low, for example. If I were to tell you, do you know, that this chair is lower than the sun? Or I think that the moon is higher than this table. Does it make sense? No, why? Not in the same proportion. So whenever you're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lachas Kama Vakama, the whole idea of high and low, closer, more distant, that's all nourished, right? That doesn't exist at all. The whole idea that Shemayim is closer and Oretz is lower, that's only looking at it from whose point of view? From our point of view. From our point of view, somehow Shemayim is more spiritual, true. Shemayim has angels, they are more spiritual, true. Oretz is more physical, true. But that's only from our point of view. From our Kadosh Baruch Hu point of view, you say every day in davening, after who atzeloi nivra ha'olam, after who misha nivra ha'olam. There's a pasuk that says, Ani Hashem lo shanisi. And therefore Yeshaya HaNovi is expressing this by saying that Hashemayim kisi, even the Shemayim is a Yurida, even the Shemayim is a tremendous Yurida for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu Batzmusoi is completely out of the proportion of what's high and what's low and what's near, what's far, what's history, what's future, what's past, what's present. All that doesn't apply to him. This is the Yesod, and this is an explanation, and again an apostate that you say every day in davening. And I hope you're well aware of the chat in this pasuk. And if you weren't, you can begin tomorrow morning. Ato hu Hashem levadecho. Ato asisus Hashemayim shmei Hashemayim haoretz v'chol asher lo hayam v'chol asher lehem. V'ato mechayetz kulam atzva Hashemayim l'chol mistach. What does this pasuk mean? This pasuk means the following. Ato hu Hashem levadecho. Hashem, you are alone. As far as you're concerned, in other words, there's nothing else besides you. Meloi chol haoretz kavoydeh. I was a Bria. But after Asisa Hashemayim, Shmei Hashemayim, Oretz V'chol Asher Aleihem, you created in the same way as you created the Oretz, and therefore the Oretz is completely bottled to you, because you created it and you're giving it, you're feeding it with constant chiyus every second, and therefore it's completely bottled to you. Just like if there's a person standing next to you with an oxygen thing and he's feeding you oxygen the whole time, is you are completely dependent on that person. If there's a person standing next to you with a noose, and there's a noose around somebody's neck and somebody holding on to both sides of the noose, the person's pretty bottled to that guy, because that his whole chiyus every second is dependent on that guy. Alachas kama v'kama. Right, like where the Shemayim and the Oretz have both the common denominator, that all the Nivraim in Shemayim are as bottle as the Nivraim in the Oretz after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they all depend and they all completely and totally depend on Chiyas from HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single second. You are Levadech Hashem, you are the sole Metzias. Everybody else, Shemayim, Shmei Shemayim, Oretz, V'chol Asher Aleha, you keep on giving them constant Chiyas the whole time. That's the end of the pasuk. V'atom Mechayes, Kulam Mechayes, in which tense? In the present tense, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly feeding chiyus to all the Shemayim, 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 and the Oretz, V'chol Asher Aleihem. And therefore, Tzvah Shemayim, L'chol Mishtachavim. And therefore they bow down to you, because bowing is a greatest symbol of subservience. Bowing is the greatest feeling of bittul to a superior power. The only question is, why is it that the Pasuk says, Utsva HaShemayim L'cha Mishtachavim? What about the Yoretz? Why is it after Utsva HaShemayim L'cha Mishtachavim? Furthermore, do you know who the Pasuk is referring to when it says Utsva HaShemayim L'cha Mishtachavim? It's referring to the sun. The sun rising every morning and the sun setting every evening is an avoida of bowing down. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Aleph, Antoninu said to Rebbe, why is it that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west? On the lake they lit in Sholem the koina, it gives Sholem, it bows to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenema Otzva Shemayim L'cha Mishtachavim. So if you ever look at sunset, you know what you are watching? You are watching the sun bowing to the Shekhinah. Because the Shekhinah is in the west. So the sun sets in the west. And the whole day the sun is preparing, is moving closer and closer from the east to the west, preparing itself for its eventual bow, its eventual symbol of subservience to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a real question. Why? Because the sun is really the ruler of the Bria. The Prophet says, in the parasha we just read this Shabbos, that v'yas Hashem is shnei amoros hagdolim, es amor hagodol lememshelas hayoyim. The sun is a moshe. The sun is a ruler. Have you ever seen a ruler who bows down? The ruler is somebody that you bow to. Why is he bowing down? But the answer is, it's Daska, the Melech of the Bria, has to bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show that lock, stock and barrel, the whole Bria, from the lowest Madrega to the highest Madrega, even the highest of the highest, is completely subservient and completely bottled to Hashem. If this bittul to Hashem, if this Ishtachavot, is bowing to Hashem, would have been manifested by any Nivra lower than the sun, then there would have been a mockum to say that, yeah, we bow down. But the sun is so-called much closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's much nearer. He's perhaps more Hamish. And therefore, he doesn't bow down. He doesn't feel this feeling of subservience. He's that much, you know, he's that much closer geographically. And is therefore Fakir, therefore Daska, the sun has to bow down to show that as high as you can get, he's completely subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Kol Shekein, everybody lower than him is completely subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the sun is the ruler. The sun is the king. But the king is showing the greatest observance. That's the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melech, malchei hamalochim, who has to show the greatest observance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the king. To show that the king is completely bottled to the malchei hamalochim on top of him. We're going to see soon that's the difference between, that's the whole difference between the melech, malchei Yisrael, and the hafdala malchei Yisrael. We know, for example, that there was the moon was also very large. And what happened to the moon? Why did Hashem make it smaller? So the moon came with a claim to Hashem. What did it say? Not enough room for both of them. Excellent. What's the Hebrew expression? You can't have two kings with one crown. Say Chazal, and you look up the Daas Kain in Baal HaTosfos there in the Pasuk, the sun didn't answer. The moon comes with a claim, it's either me or him. One of us is a king. You don't share crowns. In other words, the moon was trying to say that he doesn't feel it befitting that he should have to share his crown with the sun. The sun didn't answer. What does Hashem say to the moon? How much light does the moon have on it of its own now? None. All its light comes from the sun. So the sun expresses subservience. He becomes the king. The moon that tried to express rulership, what became of him? No, nothing. Has no life of his own. So the one who's subservient to Hashem becomes the king. The one who tries to become a king becomes the nothing. Emma says it goes even deeper and even more beautiful. We all know that the sun, the heat of the sun is very strong. Were it not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu who put something around the sun that's called, anybody knows what it's called? You know that by Avraham, we're going to come to it soon in the passage of Vayera, it's very hot because HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the sun out of it. Hoitzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu chamo minar tikod. You know there's a bag around the sun. Not a makolet bag, but there's a covering around the sun. The heat of the sun is so strong that if it wouldn't be in its bag, what would the sun do to the Bria? Destroy the Bria, burn up the Bria. And therefore there's a bag around the sun. Now, if you could ask a very simple question that every child would ask in elementary school. L'chora, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want the sun to destroy the world, so why did Hashem create the sun with a koyach to destroy the world? And then, Kivayachol having to put a bag around it to prevent it from destroying the world. Wouldn't it have been better for Hashem to have created the sun in the first place with less heat that it shouldn't destroy the world? Why does the sun have the amount of heat to destroy the world that it has to be protected with a bag in order not to destroy the world? You know what the answer is? The answer is according to what we're saying now. Because that's the message of the sun. The sun's message is that we are all bottled. The sun's message is the message of Atahu Hashem Levadecha. There is only one Metzias, and that's the Metzias of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every other Metzias is Lo Hayah V'Lo Nivra. And therefore the sun itself, who proves this, manifests this by bowing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by its subservience, the sun is the craft to destroy the whole world. The sun's message is that the world doesn't exist. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to exist for us to do Torah mitzvahs. And therefore, there's a bag around the sun that allows us to feel that we do exist. But really, without the bag, we don't exist. With the bag, we do exist. This gives us a beautiful insight into the famous Gemara in Adon that you all know. What's going to happen after the Lavoi? Says the Gemara after the name of Rishlokish. Look at the beginning, Tav Zayin on the base, Ches on the base, something like that. Well, the Gemara says, I think it's the name of Rishlokish, that there's no Gehenim after the Lavoi. What is the Gehenim? What burns up the Rishlokish? What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to take out of what? So the Gemara in Adon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Moiti, Chamo, Nina, Tiko. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to do lots of love? Let's see this inside. We're in a well-equipped serum, so we might as well make use of it. Bat Ches on the base. Rish Lakish says, Ein Gehenim L'Olam Abba. There's no such thing as Gehen. But, El HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moiti, Chamo, Nina, Tiko. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take the sun out of its narthik, out of its bag. Tzadikim Nisrafim Bo. Tzadikim will be healed by this blazing sun. And Rishayim, the Doinim Bo, and the Rishayim are going to get burnt up. What's the middah connected middah going on in the world? The answer is, Mamish according to what we do, the thought that we just said is beautiful. Tzadikim live their life bottled to Hashem. They feel that their whole soul existence is subservience to Hashem like the sun. If they follow the message of the sun with the bag or without the bag, they feel constantly that they're bottled to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they feel the avoida, they feel avoida of the sun, just like the sun is completely subservient, just like the sun is completely bottled, they feel completely bottled. They don't feel themselves as being an independent Messias. Therefore, do they live their lives with a narthik or without it? The narthik gives you a feeling as if you do exist. Without the narthik, the sun would burn the whole world. With a narthik, the Bria exists. As if a person feels that he has his own independent existence, how's he living his life? With the sun or with a narthik? With a narthik, feels his own independent Messias. If a tzaddikah feels the whole time as if burning up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, burning desire, it feels total bitterness and subservience to Hashem. So as if he's living his life with a narthik or without the narthik? With or without? Without. Without the narthik, there's no Messias, there's no Bria. A tzaddik feels the whole time that his whole Messias is the Messias of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't have his own independent Messias. That's the sign without the narthik, that there's no Bria. The Rasha feels that he can do what he wants. He beshrius livyelach. He feels he's a freelance. He can do what he wants. Averas. He feels that he is his own independent Messias. So he lives a life with or without the narthik. His whole life, his whole haskafa is only based on the fact that there is a narthik. The narthik enables him to feel his own Messias. His lost in love, boy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, off with the narthik. A tzaddik lived his whole life without the narthik. So he's not going to suffer from a son without a narthik. Faker, that's his chah. So the Gemara is going to be healed. But the Rasha, whose life was hanging on the narthik, what's going to happen without a narthik? A very powerful solarium. The guy's going to be burnt. Mizrach lachem yirei shemit. Tzadiki erishon nidoinim bo. So you see that the chiluk between the sun with an artik, without an artik, is the life of the tzaddik and the life of the rosha. The tzaddik feels the whole time the bittle to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's chama, without the artik, and the rosha felt the bittle with an artik. The rosha didn't feel the bittle because of the artik, and therefore when there's no more artik, his whole Messias doesn't exist. With this you thought, we can see clearly the two tfisot, the two ways, the two hashkafas in Avodas Hashem. The real hashkafa of Avodas Hashem is looking at the sun and seeing Otzva Hashemayim L'chom Ishtachnu. Looking at the sun and seeing the sun is the melech. It's a more a godl of Mamshelis. Who becomes the melech? The one who bows. The one who is completely bottled to Hashem. Who becomes the nothing? The one who wants to be something. The one who makes himself nothing becomes the something, and the one who makes himself the something becomes the nothing. And that's the follow-up between the Melech Yisrael and the Havdul Melech Omas Oyma. Who is the famous Melech of Yisrael? David. David says in Tehillim, Perek Kof Lamed Aleph, Hashem loy gov alibi, veloy romu einai, veloy alachti bidoylois abinifloys mimeni. Says Rashi, says the Rashi over there, loy nahakti srora, I never acted as a king, loy asisi gidoylois. Continues the pasuk, "Mleshivisi v'doimamti." I'm like a doimim. I'm like a stone, completely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that capital is capital Kof Lamed Aleph, which is, by the way, the gematria of Anova. In other words, Perek Kof Lamed Aleph, which is gematria Anova. There, David HaMelech shows what the real Melech is. Roy Gova Libi, v'Roy Lachti Bigdoilus, but employs me many. David HaMelech is Zochet the Malchus because he's a nothing. He feels himself a nothing. Who was the first famous king in the world? In Sefer Bereishis, what was his name? Begins with Nim. Nimrod. Nimrod was the first king. Anybody know why he's called Nimrod? Because Nimrod is Miloshen of Merida. Merida means to ring bell. Like Rashi says, why was he called Nimrod? Because he was Yudeas Reboino Miskaven Nimrod boy. His whole Ashkop was to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch. The Pasuk says, the Kush Yolad is Nimrod. Who heich libo liyo is gibor ba'oretz? Who are you gibor tzayid lifnei Hashem? Says Rashi. What does it mean liyo is gibor? Says Rashi. Lahamrid kol ha'olam al Hakadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzas dor haplog. He calls the whole world to rebel against Hakadosh Baruch Hu in the dor haplog. The dor haplog, right, sound tremendous idiots. What was going on in the Dor HaPlugah? Let's build a tower that's going to go from here to Shemayim and we'll fight against us. Without what was the Yisod that we said earlier, they don't sound such idiots. If you say, like we said earlier, that Shemayim and Oretz, in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are completely out of proportion, even Shemayim is a tremendous yirida to Hashem, is you can build a tower for the next million years. Will you get anywhere close to Hashem? No. But their Ashkofa was the mistaken Ashkofa, which was what? That the difference between Aretz and Shemayim is that Shemayim is very, very far from Aretz. Very, very far. But it's a certain amount of miles away from Aretz. And if you can get there, there you find Hashem. He lives up there and we live down here. And the whole Dor HaPlugah was based on Ashkofa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was within our proportions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is within our comparisons, he's within our proportions, and therefore he's just a bit fast. If we get enough manpower together, we can reach him. That's the greatest rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To feel that he's in the same proportion as you, to feel he's in the same comparison as you, to feel that you can compare yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the greatest merida. Because that's the sight how you sight this. That however high, however far, however anything, we're always out of proportion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His Nimrod was the first king. He was the king to show that there's nobody on top of him. The malachim of the goyim have one thing in mind. What's that? To push up their ego. That I am the king, the geyser. I am the king. You've looked through all the malachim in history, especially in the Torah, they all have one thing in common, that they rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You look, you know, Avraham fought with five malachim. You look through the names of the malachim. One was called Bera. Says Rashi, why? Rala Samayim, Rala Breeze, Bera. They all got one thing in common, that they rebel against Hashem. Do you know why? Because they want to feel that they're the king. Comes along Avraham Avinu and says, you're nothing. There's a power on top of you that is out of proportion to you, that you are bottle and a bottle to that power. He's going to say, I'm a king. Avraham's going to say, the sun is always also a king. And yet the sun is subservient. It bows to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Does a king like hearing such a thing? No. Is therefore the first thing a king does when he becomes king, a Goyish king, is to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look at Paroi. Mi Hashem, Asher Eshma Mekoilet. Because the Pasuk in Yechezkel, Li Yoiri. Pari says, who made the river Nile? Li Yoiri. Ani Asisoni. The Pasuk in Yechezkel. If you say that somebody else created, they'll say, no, we created. You're going to say, yeah. But after you die, don't you, Pari? And when you die, you're not in your own hands anymore. Says Pari, no, really, I've got an easy solution. Mummifying. You mummify so I didn't die. In other words, anything that's going to show on any indication that there's a power on top of them, that's it, boys. They don't want to hear about it. A melech Yisrael, David HaMelech, is kuloi botl Hashem, loi gova libi. It's kuloi pitl, there's no trace of guidance. I must bring you in a sefer that was written by Tzadik Nister here in Yerushalayim, where he brings all the medrashim about David HaMelech, and one of the most unbelievable medrashim is that, you know, David was an outcast all his life. His brothers threw him out of the house. He was psulei kol. He was the outcast of society. And when Hashem sent Shmuel to anoint the king, you know the whole story in Ach, where he came to Yishai, and Yishai said, oh, this son, look at this guy, tall, handsome, this must be the guy. So Yishai said, Shmuel, not this one, not this one, not this one, not this one. And eventually Shmuel says to Yishai, don't you have any other children? So Yishai, yeah. Eventually he admitted he had a son, an outcast. They brought him in from the field, the Medrash says that. They took, Shmuel took David, he made a big feast, he sat David on a big throne in the feast, and he proclaimed him king, and they all sat together, and they all ate together, and they all sang together, and they all proclaimed David as the king. And do you know what happened after benching? Back to the fields. David says, hey, I forgot, I left my father's sheep. Back to the fields. David HaMelech goes straight back to the fields. There's no chilukim. There's no chilukim. He's bottled wherever he is. There was another king. What was his name? Yosef. Yosef has a very interesting life. One day he finds himself deep in the bog. The next day he's at the top of Potiphar's family. He's already a deputy of Pari. Soon later, back in the bog. Soon later, back king in his shrine. His whole life is the top. Yaakov loves him, down in the bog. The brothers put him in the bog. Up, Potiphar likes him, down in the bog. This bog, up, down. Yosef HaTzadik remains the same. That's the Melech. The Melech is completely bottled. Who else is bottled? Who's the famous king? Where does David originate from? Yehuda. Why was Yehuda Zoycha to Malchus? You said it today in Davini. Hoysa Yehuda la Yisrael Mamsha. So Rashi says, what does it mean, Hoysa Yehuda la Kotchai? Because who jumped into the Yamsuf? Who was Moshe Nefesh? Nachshon Aminoda, from which tribe? Shevi Yehuda. He showed Bittl. He shows Bittl. Oh, Hoysa Yehuda la Kotchai, you Makadish Hashem, you show Bittl, you show you're nothing. Then you become king, Yisrael Mamsha Loysa. Who was the one who told his father that if I don't bring Binyamin back, b'chotosi l'cho kol hayomim. Kol hayomim, says Rashi, means not just in Olam HaZeh, but also in Olam HaBah. Usually, sometimes a person lives his Olam HaZeh and gives up his Olam HaBah. He lives a good life over here, at the expense of Olam HaBah. Sometimes he gives up his Olam HaZeh to gain a big Olam HaBah. Have you ever heard of a person who gives up both his Olam HaZeh and both Olam HaBah? If he gives up both, what's left of him? Nothing. Nothing? That's Yehuda. He says, I'm giving up my Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBah. Means that you're left with nothing. He says, you're the yes, I'm nothing. Oh, you're nothing? You're the king. The son says he's nothing. He's the king. David says, Loi gova libi. He's the king. That's the chiluk between the goyim, the malchei omes ha'olam, the havdul, and the melachim of Yisrael. That same chiluk that we find between the Jewish kings and the Goyish kings is the same chiluk that we find between. What time do you finish? 6:30.
Yeah.
That you have between the Tzvara, the people living in Shammai, and the Malachim and the Nivron down here. The Malachim all feel kulam ahovim, kulam berurim. Why? Because the kulam oisim be'im of year or tzayin, koin on. They're all bottled to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The Nivroim down here in the Aret somehow feel themselves as being independent beings, therefore being allowed to do what they want. It's the same chiluk. But what's the tachlis? What's the tachlis of Bria? The tachlis of Bria is that the Aret, the people in the Aret, should feel as bottled as the people in, as the Nivroim in Shamayim. That's the whole tachlis. That's the Pasuk says in Tehillim. Kol ha'aret yishtachavu l'cha. When the whole Aret feels the same bittle as the Shamayim feels, that's the tikkun, that's the achus hayomim. When we would all feel like kings with the same bittul as David HaMelech, that's the tikkun, that's the achus hayomim. The atin tili mamleches koyanim, the goy kodesh, that's the top. Koyanim are busy the whole day with bittul, as we'll see later. What do they do the whole day in the bittul? Avoider, bowing, avoid the bowing. Often feeling mamleches kohen, melochim mamleches kohen, a melucha and a kohen is the same thing. The kohen who were busy all day with avoda. Bittl, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mamleches kohen. That's the melech. The melech is the same degree of bittl as the kohen. That's the tachlis. That's the achas hayomim. When the whole bria down here feels as completely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we feel va'ata mechayas kulam, when we feel that every second Hashem is mechayas. And therefore, if Hashem is machayaf every second, who are we? Nothing. If we can't exist for one single second on our own, it will basically, we're not a metzias b'chal, we're completely bottled to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. When we feel that bittle to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's when we've reached the tikkun rachis hayom. That's why a melech teaches us, the melech Yisrael is the epitome of bittle, because he teaches us the bittle that Klal Yisrael have to feel to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's when Shammai and Meoretz come together. And that's what we say in Shabbos, Boyu, Nishtachave, Venichro, Nivricho, Lefnei Hashem, Seinu, Reimu, Hashem, Elokeinu, Mishtachvu, Lahakotcha, etc., etc. Having said that, we can turn now to understanding Adam Arishon and his Avodah. The Pasuk says, Vayitzah Hashem, Elokeinu, Adam, Ofa, Min Adoma, Adam is created from Oretz, Vayipach, Tavod, Nishmas, Chaim, is created from Shemaim. The part of him that's from Shemaim says, Bittl, Lutzvah, Shemaim, Lucham, Mishtachavim. The part of him that's from Oretz, Ofam in Adama, teaches him Metzius, independence. Adam Rishon, Adam is the one that has this balancing power between feeling dependent and independent, between feeling his own Metzius and the Bittl, and his whole avoid is to reach that level of Bittl. The more Bittl Adam feels, the greater Melech he becomes. The less Bittl he feels, the greater nothing he becomes. It follows exactly the same pattern. If Adam is completely bottled to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he's the king of the Bria. If Adam feels that he is a Messias, then he's the nothing of the Bria. Where do we know this from? Apostle can pass his words. What does Hashem tell Adam when he creates Adam? Vayom elakim nasa Adam, the yirdu b'dgas hayom, o b'oif ha-shamayim, o b'heimo, o b'chol ha-oretz, o b'chol ha-remes ha-oretz. Hashem says that let's make an Adam, the yirdu b'dgas hayom, and he's going to be the yirdu over all the animals, over all the creatures on the land. Rashi says, what does the word the yirdu mean? Two meanings. Either it means redui, all that means Yerida. Redui means power, rulership. Yerida means being down, being a nothing. Hashem says to Adam, the Yerido. So which one does it mean over here in this context? Does it mean Adam Rishon is going to be the Yerido? He's going to be ruler of the Bria? Or does it mean Yerida? Which one? Says Rashi, depends. Means both. Zacha, if he's Zacha, if he's an Eved Hashem, then he's Roida, then he's the ruler. If he's loizacha, the nasa yerud, he even gets lower than the animals. Vachaya mishalas boy, and the animals are even on higher than him. Either Adam rules over the bria, that's the yeridu, or yerida, and they're going to rule over him. So you see, if a person becomes like the tzvah shemayim, like the shemesh, who's the ruler, and he shows bittul of tzvah shemayim l'chomishtacham, and he shows the bittul to Hashem, then he becomes the ruler. If a person tries to show his own independent metzias, then he becomes the nothing. And therefore, the first day that Adam Rishon was created, the Shish Shal Yom Hayom Yom Shishi B'Shabbos, Hashem Molach Geis Loveis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the Melech and we are the Avodah. Again, I'm trying to make a long story short because we're tied for time. That's the whole balancing act, and that's the tragedy of the Chet of the Eitz Hadass. What does the Nochash say? The Nochash says, the Pasuk in Perek Gimel Pasuk Hei, Ki Yodeh Elakim Ki B'Yom HaKolchem Amenu V'Nifkechu Enechem V'Hi Yisem Te'eloi Kim, Yoidei Toi Bera. Vehiyisem Kele Kim. What does it mean, Vehiyisem Kele Kim? You're going to be like God. You're going to be like God. Comparison to Hashem. You can compare a Nivra to the Boire. Hashem is in the same comparison. He's in the same wavelength. He's in the same proportions as earthly Nivraim. What's going on over here? That says Rashi there, but Yisum Kelekim, that you can also create worlds if you eat from the Eitz Hadas. So according to this, we see in this beautiful way what the whole Chet of Eitz Hadas was and what the Nachas was trying to do. The Nachas was trying to tear all elements of Bittl away from Adam Arishon. The Nachas was trying to make Adam feel that he is also an independent Bria. That he also has Koyach. He's also something. He doesn't have to be bottled to Hashem, but he's some care like him. He's on par. He's a comparison. He can compare himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the taiva. That was a type of the Eitz HaDaat, to feel power. Like the Prophet says, on Batere, Ha'isha ki toiv ha'etz l'machal. The woman saw that the tree was good to eat. What does that mean? It says, Rashi liyas kelekim. The feeling of being kelekim compared to Hashem, that was the feeling, that was the type of the Eitz HaDaat, and that was the tragedy of listening, of eating from the Eitz HaDaat. From now on, Adam Rishon has lost his bittle from eating Eitz HaDaat. From now on, he becomes a comparison. He feels himself as an independent, even comparing himself, Chas V'Shalom, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Instead of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being out of all proportions, being completely bottled to Hashem, he has now become an on par. He feels himself as an on par to Hashem. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there in Pasuk Ches, the Pasuk says there in Pasuk Ches, that Vayishmu es koyil Hashem elekim misalech began l'ruach hayoim. They heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming to rebuke them l'ruach hayoim. Says Rashi, what does it mean, l'ruach hayoim? L'ruach hayoim means from that direction that the sun rises in the morning and sets in the evening. It means Hashem came from the east to the west to rebuke them, to remind them of the sun. Why is Hashem reminding them of the sun? Exactly. Hashem said that you've forgotten about the sun. The sun shows subservience and the sun is the king. And the sun is the ruler. The sun is the big boy. And yet the sun is completely subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rebuke to Adam and Chava? Why do you forget the sun? Don't you see that the sun is the ruler through showing his subservience? Through showing his bittle? And you're trying to take away bittle now? The Nochash was punished. He tried to take away the Tzvah Shemaim L'Chom Ishtachavim, and therefore he remains. What happened to his leg? Cut off. He remains in what position? Which is a bowing position. He remains bowing all his life. That's his whole Metzius. Shatuach kol gufoy ba'aretz. From now on, he only eats one food, or whatever he eats tastes of one thing, which is offer, dust. Dust represents bittel. So he lies on bittel, he rolls in bittel, and he eats bittel, and his whole chiyus and his whole Metzius is bittel. Yeah. In other words, they're both lessons of bittul. Both punishments are lessons to bittul. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was forcing him to a permanent bittul, i.e. eating bittul and by showing bittul. Very good, that's a different shot. It's a different shot that says in Chazal. But he doesn't like the money, he doesn't feel he's getting it from Hashem. It's Gil Hashem says it don't have anything to do with you anymore. Very good, that's a shot. It's a mistake of shot. Shivan Panam Nathayim. So Gonzo was saying that he lives in bittul and he rolls in bittul all his life. Because he took away the Tzvah Shemayim L'chom Mishtach. As a result of that, came the terrible Doris, the Dora Flogger, the Dora of idol worshippers. Again, it's not time now to go into the whole idea of how Avodah Zorah sprung up from there. But you know, Avodah Zorah, the classical Avodah Zorah, what did they used to bow down to? They used to bow down to wood, to stones, to a doimim. Why did they bow down to a domain thing, something that's a doimim? Couldn't they choose anything better? But the answer is because they wanted to bow down to something that is less of a madriga than they are. Which means we know there's daragas. There's a doimim, tzemeach, chayim, adaber. Man is at the top, and a doimim is right at the bottom. In other words, they don't want to show bittul to a superior power. They want to be superior to their gods. Where does such a narishkeit, such a mishugas come from? That you want to choose a God that you can be superior to your God. You know what Avodah to Marcolis was? He used to throw stones at Avodah Zorah. Which means that they wanted to show they became now superior to their gods. That was the bittul Bayisim Kelekim that the Nochash did. Before the Chet of Eitz HaDaas, when he spoke about Hashem, Hashem Moloch Ye Yislamish. Now, we're on top of our gods. That was the Mishagas, that was the Narishkeit. And the world plunged into a darkness of Toyo Vavoyo, as Chazal say, until the holy Neshama of Avraham Avinu. Until Avraham Avinu was born. And Avraham Avinu, says the Pasuk, we know that Avraham Avinu is the Pasuk in Tehillim and Peiches Amad Aleph. And Chazal Darshan and Balbasio Daf Tes Bov, that on that Pasuk in Tehillim, which says, Maskil Ha'eson Ha'ezrachi. Do you know who was called Ha'ezrachi? Avraham Avinu was called Ha'ezrachi. Why? Because he came from the Mizrach, he came from the east. There's another pasuk that says, Mi Heir Mi Mizrach Tzedek. Says the Gemara there that Avraham Avinu was called Ezrachi because he came from the Mizrach. So what if he came from the Mizrach? I'm going to call you from now on west because you come from here. I'm going to call you north because you come from there. Why do directions give people names? So the answer is, do you know why Avraham Avinu was called Ezrachi? Because he comes from the east. And do you know why the east is called Mizrach? Because what rises in the east? the sun, and the sun shines. Therefore, the east is called Mizrach, which means the sun is now about to reappear. For 2,000 years, the sun and its message had disappeared. There was no Tzvar Shemayim L'chamish Tachlim anymore in the Bria. Avraham Avinu is the one who brought back the message of a Tzvar Shemayim L'chamish Tachlim. He even said about himself that Anochi I am off of Eifer, which means Avraham Avinu is bringing back this lost bittle that disappeared as a result of the chet of the Eitz Hadas. Now the Rambam, you look at the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, in the beautiful Rambam, where the Rambam says over there that Avraham Avinu began teaching. The Hischil, I'm reading out the Lashon of Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. The Hischil hoidia la'am, she'ein roi lavoid ela lelekai oilom ve'roi roi lishtachavos. Only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be bowing down. And you all know what he did to all the idols. In other words, that was Avraham Avinu's Avoida. Avraham Avinu's Avoida was to bring back the idea that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the sole existence and nothing else, and therefore a person is going to be completely bottle of a bottle to Hashem. What was the first episode that the Torah writes about Avraham Avinu? What did they do to him? Even before Parshas Lech Lecha. What was the episode of Or Kasdim? What did they do to Avraham? They threw him in the fire. His beliefs in God threw him, caused him to be thrown in the fire. Throwing in the fire showed his mysterious nefesh, showed his bittle, showed his willingness to literally be reduced to offer the aether. That shows his bittle. That's Avraham Avinu's message. You couldn't have done a bigger favor to Avraham Avinu than throwing him in, than showing the whole world saw Avraham Avinu's mysterious nefesh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the miracle that he came out alive. And people started bowing down to him when he came out alive. They thought he was a god. How can you survive in a furnace? In other words, what's happened over here? Avraham Avinu has reached the tachlis of bittul of being reduced to ashes and has come out as an unbelievable king. We'll have time for one more episode of Avraham Avinu today, and we'll continue tomorrow. That you know, Pharaoh knows there was a famous battle between Avraham Avinu and the kings. Those kings, the Malchumas Oilans, we discussed there, and had a very interesting exchange of ammunition. What were they throwing at Avraham? Swords. What did the swords turn into? Dust. Avraham Avinu threw dust. What did the dust turn into? Swords. What's going on over here, right? It's a gracious rabbi from paying them gimel. What's going on over here? The terrace is that the kings correspond to koichi v'oisi miyadi. Power, independence. Al-Khar b'chotichye. I am the greatest, Muhammad Ali. In other words, it shows on power, on manpower. They were throwing swords. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, somebody who makes up, tries to build up his ego, do you know what becomes of him? Dust. Avraham Avinu's offer for Eifer, do you know what becomes of him? Koyach. If his earth turns into swords, turns into Koyach, and their Koyach turns into offer. And the emissaries that the Pasuk says afterwards, after the battle, Vayetze Melech Soim Likrosoi, and the Medrash says on this Pasuk in Lech Lecha, Yud Dalet Pasuk Yud Zayin, that all the kings made a big bama, they cut down cedar trees, and they made a big bima, and they put Avraham Avinu on the bima, and they started calling him Adoini Amelech, Atom Molech. I'm reading out the Lashon of the Medrash, Meloich Ato Aleinu, Nasi Ato Aleinu, you are Amelech, you are Anossi, Elokai Ato Aleinu, you are our God. That's what they said to Avraham Avinu. In other words, you can see what's happened over here is exactly what we said earlier. If you say that you are off of the Eifer, if you are willing to be bottled and to be thrown into a furnace, you become a king. They put you on a big bima and they say, you are our king, you are our God. If you are Nimrod, if you are Dara Flogger, if you feel that you are it, then you know what becomes of you and your sword? Dust. Nothing becomes of you. If you say Ve'isim Kelekin, then you live of Afa. If you say bittul, then you become a king. Exactly the same reaction to the Shemesh and the Yireach, where the Yireach says, you can't have, he's interfering with my crown, I want to be the king. The Yireach has got no light of its own. The sun is silent, and he bows subservience, he becomes the king. Avraham is bittul, off of Eifer, I'm nothing, becomes the king. All the other kings show koyach, they become nothing. That's the pattern that we're going to see. We're going to continue. We're going to finish tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. But that's the pattern so far we're going to see throughout Bereishis, and that's going to be the message of Sefer Bereishis.